Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball time, turn on the fan. JD's coming on, he's a baseball man. I gotta get the scoop before I drive home from the kid from Queens calling Arlington home. Car pulls up, who can it be? A fresh El Camino, it's Thad Levine. He rolls down his window and he started to say, it's all about making that kick-ass trade.
The reason that we feel like BMW is the ultimate driving machine is because they get behind our guy, John Daniels, and bring you the John Daniels Show every week at 4:20 on Mondays. Good afternoon, JD. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
We are doing really well. We get out to California, and then the temperatures drop in the Metroplex, and it's actually kind of hot out here, but you don't want to hear us complain about that. I'm very curious, though. No doubt you have seen the performances of Cole Hamels since you guys made the trade a few weeks back, and it's always a fascinating thing when we start trying to figure out why someone changes venues or circumstances or whatever jargon you want to use here, and then suddenly has stellar efforts. Last night it was a old school pitcher's duel between him and Scherzer. So when you see those sorts of things, I mean, I know that there's a lot of reasons that go into it, but what do you sort of take out of that situation when a guy gets traded and immediately goes out there and just performs like he's an all-world type pitcher?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a bunch about that actually here, watching Cole. And I think we expected him to do well, you know, and I think the Cubs did well getting him. One, I think he's healthy, and his stuff was as good as it had been. He'd had some stuff, you know, kind of just general things going on from a distraction standpoint, which, you know, everybody has, which I think played a little bit of a role in it. But I also think sometimes just change of scenery, getting into a pennant race, kind of motivates guys. Especially when you're talking about guys that are, you know, among the best in the game, and for me, that's the biggest thing we've seen. Definitely take like a critical look when somebody leaves here and does well going elsewhere. But to be fair, you know, you have guys, whether it's, you know, Darvish or Castro, you have other guys that have, you know, left here, maybe haven't performed at the same level. So there's a little bit on both sides. Definitely something we pay attention to, though.
Yeah, and I was wondering about players the other way. You know, when things go in the other direction, where you handpick a player from an organization and then they come over here and have success. I'm trying to think of the name eludes me now.
Sam Dyson?
Yeah, Dyson. We were talking about him earlier. That's a guy who hadn't had as much success until he came over here, and then you guys sprinkled magical Ranger dust on him, and he did really, really well. So is it one of those things where it goes both ways and this is just something that happens to organizations, or do you feel like this is happening too much in a negative way to you guys?
Fair question. Again, I think you look at it, you can have, you know, guys going both ways. And Cashner is a good example of a guy who came here and performed better than he had previously, and you know, has not had as much success this year as he did with us last year. Cole was very good for us, and then obviously struggled this year, went to the Cubs, and has had three very good starts. I think it goes both ways, but it's something we'll continue to take a deeper look at. You know, I think improving our systems overall, you know, and whether that is by kind of our infrastructure to give players feedback, identify issues, and kind of give them tangible feedback, both from the coaching side and also the data side. You know, that's something that we'll continue to look to get better at.
You know, John, since you brought this up, I want to kind of dig deeper into it just on this macro level, because it's something that, in my little world, I can't comprehend the levels of the things that an organization, a baseball organization, has to do. It's massive and it's sprawling, and you have teams all over the United States, and there's different levels. And so if you were to make an assessment of one aspect of y'all's structure, and let's say it's just this broad lateral term of player development, and let's say that you guys felt like we need to improve in this area, how do you even go about implementing a structure-wide improvement in player development when you have teams on different coasts and different parts of the United States, and there's different coaches at each level, and I'm sure they all have their different nuances and things. How do you even make an assessment for something that is such a big, sprawling entity?
Well, a lot of that will take place in the off season if there's something that we want to roll out, you know, really kind of starting right now, because there may be some things that we want to address at Instruction League with some of our better prospects, and then it's off season programs, and then it's spring training. So it's really almost works in reverse. So the season is the backside of the cycle, if that makes sense. Really,
yeah.
Implementing a change system-wide, it really starts more end of season, into Instruction League, into off-season programs, the follow-up and follow-through there, different off-season camps, then into spring training. Because once you get out of spring training, these guys go out and compete. But some of that may be just something that we want to emphasize in a given year or at a certain level. On a more macro level, the advances in R&D really been within the last decade or so. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of our structure is set up, 10, 12, 15 years ago. And so, one of the things that we're looking at, especially on the player development side, because that's really where a lot of the advances are and how you implement what you have learned, how you provide teaching tools to your coaches to help your players execute it on the field. Ultimately, the players are the end users of the information that we have, right? It's either the decision makers like myself or Kip making a draft selection, if you're talking about player acquisition, or if it's player development, it's all the players are the end users. So how do we present the information, give them instant feedback in a way that makes sense to the players? A lot of our learnings here within the last decade, we have to adjust our structure organizationally, because R&D can't just be something that fits in the cracks, if that makes sense. It really has to be a driver of the business. And so that's something that we're constantly looking at. How do we, update how we make decisions, update how we structure the organization.
All right. We had the opportunity to go out to Texas Live last week.
Ooh-wee.
Man, we were blown away. I mean, it exceeded all expectations. And we've been trying to tell people, until you see it and wrap your brain around it, you'll have no idea what we're even saying, because you can't fathom how incredible it is. And that just made us start dreaming about what that park's going to be like, because it's directly adjacent and attached to it. And you can kind of see the structure of the park going in, and we're getting fired up about that. And are you telling me that you don't necessarily know all the exact finalized dimensions? You're still kind of kicking that around? I know we've broached the subject before, but is it
of the ballpark
still,
you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the outfield wall and all that?
Yeah, like how big the wall is, how deep it is, like the types of things that, you, the general manager, would build a team around. Are some of those things still being kicked around, or are all of those things finalized?
There are set plans right now that have, set dimensions, as far as the outfield wall, the foul ground and distance from – home plate to the premium seats right behind there, the distance from the dugouts to the mat. Those things are fairly set. I don't think those are going to change at all. I guess in theory, the outfield wall could change slightly, although I don't expect that it will. I'm not sure exactly when we're releasing all those things, but generally speaking, it's going to be similar to our current park, where right field is a little bit closer than a little bit of a shorter porch than left field is, but the dimensions are not exactly the same.
When you get I can imagine this is a really fun sandbox for you and everybody involved in making those decisions. Is this one of the things that you've had more, enjoyment from, kind of building this thing and having input on that, or of all the things you've been able to do outside of course, contending?
Yeah, for sure. Just because, how often does this come around? How many people get to be part of this type of process? And something that truly could last a lifetime. There's definitely a lot of attention to detail on the field element and the dimensions, but really some of the most fun has been in designing both the clubhouse space, just as far as the flow, the amenities, kind of the sports science R&D areas where, you know, we're just able to provide players with a different level of both amenities for their families and themselves, but also, like, you know, tools for rest and recovery and rehab and to keep it, keep our best players on the field. So it's going to be, with no exaggeration, it'll be the biggest and it'll be the best in the game. And that's really exciting to roll that out. And you know, as we continue to help this group of young players, provide them with the best facilities, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Have you over the – I mean, it would probably be going back 4 and 5 years. I know how these processes work. When you went to other ballparks, let's say even 7 years ago, would you take note of things that you liked or didn't like about it in hopes of implementing it later?
Yes, I mean, definitely. Mike Daly is actually somebody that's like – he's really, really good at that and kind of picking up things and visiting different facilities. And even before we were visiting, we were planning this ballpark, we would do that and go visit different spots. You know, Mike visited University of Alabama and Oregon, some, you know, the best college facilities and, you know, different NFL teams and NBA. And, you know, we go see the Yankees, we go visit their offices and how they lay things out, and the Cubs, check out their new, their clubhouse. And I mean, that is a big, a fun part. But even before we knew we were going to get a ballpark, we were trying to pick up little pieces like that. You know, just no shame and you know, no need to reinvent the wheel when someone's already come up with a great idea that can help our players.
You know, when you – the idea of watching Rangers baseball and air conditioning is one of the greatest things that I've ever even considered. Growing up my whole life watching this baseball team play in this heat.
I do it at home.
I can – exactly. I cannot wait to do it in Arlington. And I'm just curious, of all the places where you see baseball played indoors – you know, what do you think are some of your favorites? Who do you think does it right?
Indoors, right. Great question. So I've been to, I think, most of them. I have not been to the Marlins spot. I think I've been to the rest of them as far as those that have a roof. They all kind of do different things. Seattle's different because it's open air. You know, it's not air conditioned. It's not sealed. But... you know, I do think that they did a lot right in that when it's open, you know, you don't feel like you're in a stadium that has a dome at all. You know, it's obviously you're aware that the roof sets back over that industrial area behind the park, but you don't really see it, you don't feel it, and you get, you know, the spectacular kind of northwest skies and feel. That's something that, you know, I'm excited about what we're doing, is that it's going to have it, even when it's closed, I think we're going to have as much kind of an open air feel as you possibly can have. But with the air conditioning, you know, you're not going to be sitting in 95 degrees. And when it's open, it's going to be, you know, really open, you know, a really big opening for the roof. We're fortunate with the land we have that the engineers were able to pull the track all the way back so that it would be really, you really feel when you're watching a game outside in April or September, whenever it may be, the weather allows, like it'll truly be an outdoor feel. So I think it'll be the best of both worlds.
Well, John, thanks for indulging us on this today. Me and Ben and KT have just been buzzing since we were out there at Texas Live on Thursday and thinking about all this. So enjoyed the conversation today, and we will catch up with you next week, man.
Thank you, guys.
There he goes, John Daniels, General Manager, the Texas Rangers, brought to you by BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.